and welcome to the Part of That World podcast, the podcast where we dive into the world of your favourite films, starting with Disney's animated classics. Today, we're on The Jungle Book, and I'm joined by my friend Sam KitKat. Enjoy the episode. And welcome to this week's episode of Part of That World. I'm joined by my friend Sam. Why don't you say hello to the people, Sam?
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm part-time colleague, part-time friend of Rihanna's.
Part-time friend? What's that supposed to mean?
Like I said before, it looks like I've taken R2-D2 to Laser Quest. I'm talking in front of this, and it's like the third person.
You're literally staring at the microphone.
It's at eye level. I don't know if I'm shrinking in the seat, but...
You're fine, mate. You're fine.
It's all good.
As you guys can hear already, you're in for a treat today.
Yeah, sorry, Star Wars isn't on brand. It's not quite Disney, but...
I mean, it's owned by Disney. You're fine.
Well, isn't though these days, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's a whole different podcast. Anyway, Sam's here. We're going to talk about The Jungle Book.
Yep.
But before we do talk about The Jungle Book, I think we should talk about the fact, Sam, that this isn't actually your first... podcast, technically.
Oh, here we go.
Inadvertently.
Claim to fame. Right, okay, so basically, I've made my claim to fame from not only a name I can't control, but someone who I don't even know, so...
Yeah, so basically, what happened was, some of you listeners may have heard of No Such Thing as a Fish, which is a podcast by the guys who write QI. It's quite a big deal. It's quite a big podcast. Anyway, recently, one of their fun facts in their episode was the existence of my friend Sam KitKat.
Right. Yes, and it's not even my first name, so my mum can't even take credit for this one.
No.
But very odd listening to it in the kitchen. I won't lie, it was maybe took 4 or 5 times for me to fully sink in. And then, to be fair, I can't even pronounce his second name.
So you know, despite the fact this is your first time guesting on a podcast, you've been mentioned on a podcast.
I'm the urban myth on one podcast, but
this is the real deal. We should probably start talking about The Jungle Book at some point. Yeah. So, I was going to ask you a few fun questions based on The Jungle Book, just to get a sense of...
Okay.
You know, for the listeners to get a sense of who you are, as if they somehow haven't already in this 2 minutes. But my first question I want to ask you... I've got 2 fun questions. My first one is... Obviously, Mowgli is raised by wolf cubs. He's just left with the wolf cubs. If you were raised by animals, based on who you are as a person now...
Have you met my family?
No, I haven't. Okay. With who you are now, what animal do you think, like, would most encompass you, like, that you've been raised by them?
Right, for me? Well, I can't say anything with whiskers because I've not got an inch of facial hair from the age of 20. I'm now 21. No. I would say flamingo because I used to limp like I had one leg, but... I wouldn't say flamingo because I'm not quite. Okay. It's quite. I don't know. It's not really my vibe.
That wasn't what I thought you were.
No, I wouldn't go flamingo. To be fair, I'd probably go eagle. I'm an eagle.
Of course.
I'm an eagle. Of course, like you knew I was going to say that.
No, I had no idea.
No, I like to watch things from above. You know, I like to observe wingspan. Not that it really means anything. But, I don't know. I feel like for me, I think mainly because I watched that Stuart Little film and I thought, I'm the eagle. That's me.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go. I don't know what I would say for that, actually.
What's your animal, then?
Yeah, I came up with this question, weeks ago, thinking, oh, it's a really good question to ask Sam. But I didn't come up with an answer for myself. I don't know. I think maybe something like, not like the elephants in this, but I think, I don't know, my parents to me. Not my parents are elephants, not like that, not in that way.
I mean, I would say, but dementia runs in the family, unfortunately, so I wouldn't be able to remember anything. So I'm not an elephant for me.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I think maybe elephants, but I don't know why. Slower pace of life, maybe. Don't forget, I mean, I forget everything. Actually, that's not true. I'm very good at remembering conversations, but everything else. Anyway, my other question. Oh, I forgot what my other question was. It was a good one. I promise it was.
Wait, it's not written down?
No, these were just top of my head. These notes actually don't say anything about these questions. I'm just making it up as I go. For the listeners, you don't need to know that. It's all fully prepared in advance.
Yeah, off the cuff.
I've remembered what my second question was. It was, obviously, the big song in Jungle Book is The Bare Necessities.
Yep.
What would you say are your bare necessities in life?
I'm going to sound like Paul Gascoigne, but probably football and a pint. I'm joking.
You're so basic.
No, I'd say probably...
The
bare necessity of life is family, friends, and steady income, I'd say.
Oh, that was cool.
Seriously?
No, that's good.
Because when you boil it down to it, you think
that's
like...
awesome.
Like, who do you spend your life with? Your family and your friends. Mm-hmm. and what do you do when you're around those people and you work?
Yeah.
So, and yeah.
There we go.
I can't seem to escape that. Mm.
I don't mind. It sounds like such a wet answer, doesn't it? To be like your family and friends, but it is.
It is,
like,
yeah. Because if I don't, because I know they're going to listen. If I don't say that, then they're going to say, "Sam, what were you actually saying on this podcast?" Like, you do know who brought you up, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Someone's going to get in trouble. I mean, after you called them, what did you call them? Flamingos, eagles. Eagles is pretty good, actually. Anyway, so I feel like that's going to be a lot of tangents in this episode of me just going anyway.
Yeah.
But so the reason I invited you to come chat to me about the Jungle Book is because you did list it to me a while ago as one of your favourite films, alongside the likes of Scarface, Donny Brasco, and Finding Nemo.
Yeah, it's a wide spectrum.
If you want to understand Sam Kit Kat, do you know what? That's actually a fairly accurate summary of the man in front of me. But The Jungle Book, you've said to me before, like, it was one of your favourites as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, what, like, memories do you have of it, of watching it as a kid?
Sure, I've always thought back, right, and I've always thought, it's a bit like your school friends as a kid. You're like, your mum picks your friends in the playground, and then, like, you grow up with them, and then 20 years later, you're like, how, like, why are you friends with this person? I'm like, sort of because my mum made me watch it, and, like, sort of sit by it, like, but then, like, you grow, and then, like, you know, you watch it back, and you think, Why on earth was I closing my eyes when I was trying to get hypnotised by a snake? Like, that's ever even going to happen, but...
Nah. Yeah, Sam did tell me the story while we were watching it, that he used to, during the bit where Carr tried... You have also told me in previous times that you used to be scared of Shere Khan.
Yeah, to be fair, like, for me, tigers has always been, you know, like, it's like Never Meet Your Heroes. There's pictures of me dressed up as tigers for years and years and years. Yeah, I think it's the old man voice.
Yeah.
He's like slightly daunting. Yeah, that's what scares me. Like, it's not even like him as a person. Like,
it's very like, I think it's because it's like the regal, slow.
Yeah,
British,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
As well. Yeah, yeah, I get what you mean.
Like, it's like, you've got to think, like, who's actually behind the mic for that one? Well, I don't know.
So,
don't
the
know.
Guy who voices Shere Khan is a guy called George Saunders, and he was like known for playing villains. So, like, it is very much
makes
like.
More sense,
there you go. Yeah. Alleviate your fears.
It does make sense.
I've explained it to you.
Method to the madness there, man.
Yeah. Do you want to ask you what said that to me? She was like, She was like, I feel like your purpose on this world is just to educate Sam Kit Kat. So,
yeah,
there you
well,
go. That's your education for the day, Sammy.
I'm project number one.
Yeah. I know for me, I also grew up on this, like, watched it a lot growing up. But, like, I feel like I had, like, almost two stages in that, like, I grew up on it. And then my youngest cousin, who's 11, she also loved it as a kid. So it was, like, in my teens then.
And then you end up being more invested than the person that you put
exactly.
it on for in the first
and
place.
And then we watched it loads. And I remember we used to sing, like, Bare Necessities to her all the time. Also, fun childhood memory of this film. And Shaquille, you're about to get a shout out, my brother. So my brother Shaquille used to dress up as Bagheera every single year for World Book Day.
Bagheera.
Like, without fail.
So did you just crawl into school?
But he would wear just full long sleeve black tank top, black trousers, and then my mum made him a tail out of a pair of tights that were just stuffed with like other socks and scarves.
That's a try, eh?
And it was just like wrapped around his waist as a tail. And every single year he would insist on doing the same costume. Like, how many years do you do World Book Day? Like, the whole of primary school.
That is brilliant.
And he was just Bagheera. Every single year.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I need to dig out some photos of that, actually. We must have them somewhere.
Do you think you should just, like open his book up on the carpet and thought, I'm not sitting down today, I'm Bagheera today. I'm Bagheera today. Like,
just crawling around my class.
Skip that lunch, dude. I'm straight in. You know.
Yeah.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, revisiting it now, because you said this, like, the first time you watched it since you were a kid. It was quite cute, actually, when we started watching it. You were like, I feel like I'm six again. I'm really excited.
I was excited to watch it, you know. It's like, been what, 15 years since I've watched it, I reckon. So many days, years gone by since then, so yeah.
Thank
I suppose
you. Yeah, but how did you find it revisiting it, watching it as an adult?
So yeah, I feel like it's like trying to recite a night out from like the day before. Like, it's like you can sort of picture what's coming next, but then like you've got to sort of relive it to be able to say what's actually happened. So like by the end of it, I'd sort of recollected everything that had happened.
Because it was definitely familiar scenes. Because I think both
massive,
of us at a lot of points went, oh, I remember this. I thought it came later in the film.
Like, because I watched the second one.
I love the second one.
Yeah, the second one for me is the one for me.
It's the one.
Like, but I was a bit confused because I was like, where's his sister? Well, I thought it was his sister, but obviously No, that's not the case,
no,
is it?
No,
certainly not
she's
the case.
Definitely not his sister.
No, we do not promote no. any of that, I'm afraid.
Not on the podcast.
No. But no, because that sort of threw me off, because I remember watching the second one and it started when he was in the village.
Yeah.
So, like, but it was sort of like...
I said the Jungle Rhythm, one of the most cracking Disney songs of all time. If you don't, if you've not seen The Jungle Book 2, the 2003 sequel to this 1967 film, you should watch it. Like, obviously all of the random Disney sequels suck, but The Jungle Book 2, that's just, that's a whole other game. It's so good.
Yeah, Finding Dory too.
I always used to have that with, I've still never seen Finding Dory.
Okay. I wouldn't want to find it. To be
okay,
honest.
I won't watch Finding Dory.
No.
I was going to say, this is the problem I used to have with Aladdin, because we used to watch the Aladdin sequel, Aladdin King of Thieves, loads.
Yeah.
To the point where the endings of those two films were so mixed for me. Like, and I used to get really confused when then I watched the regular Aladdin. And I'm like, what the heck is this ending? I don't remember any of this. Like, where's the stuff getting turned into gold? It's just because I was thinking of a completely different film. Because the sequels... But yeah, it's funny like that.
No, my experiences with Aladdin were very mixed. I think I've never seen the film, but I've gone to see it twice, and it ended up me getting squirted. I was 10. It sounds going to sound awful, but getting squirted in the face by like some actor at some gambling even Arno theatre. It was awful.
Yeah.
But that used to be the Christmas tradition.
I hate
Aladdin as a Christmas tradition. What? Like, that does not seem right, does it?
I don't like pantomimes. No. Like, pantomimes make no sense to me.
No.
So stupid. But The Jungle Book, we very much enjoyed, I think.
Yeah, I think it was really good. It was a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's only 87 minutes. So it's one of the... It's not one of the, like, shortest, but it's definitely on the shorter side. It's that thing, isn't it, if, like, films just used to be shorter, though. Like, obviously now, even Disney films are nearing on 2 hours, which feels wild, because if you put a five-year-old in front of it, they're not going to keep attention that long.
Yeah, especially when, because you're a kid.
Actually, you're a good test, aren't you?
IQ of my shoe size is what they say, but, you know. But, I suppose, like, when you used to watch it as a kid, you never used to watch the whole thing at once. Like, it would just be hours. I don't know what my mum used to do to me. She used to feed me every now and then, I suppose. But
just leave between,
like watching it now and being able to like recognise the different things and like different features of the film that you don't previously recognise when you're watching it as a little baby in a nappy. I suppose. Yeah.
I guess you can appreciate craft more, and you notice things because you're actually.
And I think you find things a lot more funny as well, because then you sort of like, have like an adult sort of
sense of humour.
Yeah, like, you sort of, like, depict it from someone who shouldn't be watching it, but, like, it's not, like, tailored to that sort of age group. So, like, well, when you watch it back, it's, like, dramatically ironized.
Yeah, it was, like, how was it you described Baloo?
Oh, he's, like, it was sort of, like, the uncle that you meet twice a year, not on Christmas, because you never get too pissed. But, like, I feel like that, like, and then, like, Bagheera's, like, the four-legged Nanny McPhee to come in and save him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's so accurate. I really love, actually, the dynamic between those two characters. Because obviously it's like the classic straight-laced, like a fun one. But it does work really well. And I know that the animators, like, that was a whole big thing for them was like... But I guess, but the whole thing for this film, like, characters is such a big part of it. Because, like, if you think of the story, there isn't really much of a story. Like, even Mowgli is a main character. He's the main character, but actually, it's kind of... Stuff just kind of happens to him. Like, he doesn't have particularly a lot of agency. He's just kind of stumbling through this story and meeting people along the way.
Mm. Yeah, like, you just personifying animals at the end of the day, really. Like,
I mean, that's literally what it is. That's what the Jungle Book is.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, David Attenborough would have an aneurysm trying to commentate over that. I mean, all the speaking's done for him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I was saying this too. Mowgli was raised by wolves, but that is very much a human boy acting like a human boy.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Like, if you were to read the book first, you'd expect him to be on all fours, like, crawling around.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people said when the film came out, was, like, they were like, it's a bastardisation of the book. Why have they even bothered calling it an adaptation? Someone said, "The Jungle Book is based on Kipling in the same way that a fox hunt is based on foxes."
Yeah.
That was written in Time magazine back in the 60s. So that was very much the kind of case of a lot of people thought, well, what was the point of calling it an adaptation? Because, if you read the book, it is very much more animalistic and quite a bit darker as well, actually, and has more themes exploring heavier things than this film does. Like, this film is quite light. Like, it's scary. We were saying already, like, it is scary at points, but it's relatively light. Like, even Shere Khan... he's a threat, but at the same time, it's almost like a playful threat.
Yeah,
like,
it is, yeah.
This was another thing that one of the animators says. They said he's more of a thinker and somebody who's having fun being evil.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not the stake of danger. It's just that he in himself is the danger.
Yeah, he sort of plays along the idea, like a typical, like, I could, though. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
He's the I could. He's the Sam Cochrane.
Yeah.
He's the Sam Cochrane of Jungle Book.
That's another friend we work with, for context for listeners. He will not be listening to this, I assume. So, you know, we don't have to worry about offending him. But yeah, were there certain scenes that, like, really did rain? You saw them and you were like, oh my gosh, this comes back.
Yeah, but obviously the Bare Necessities song is, like, so iconic. Because, like, even people that haven't watched the film still know the song, which just goes so, like, how, like, iconic of a scene that is. But not only that, like, it's when it's the hypnotisation. As we were saying before, like, I used to just cover my eyes, like, as if he was gonna, like, hypnotise me as well. But to be fair, no, I think apart from that, like, I don't actually remember certain, like, aspects of the narrative. Mm. It's more of, like the aesthetic features.
It's the visuals, isn't it? Yeah. For me, it was the elephants. The elephant scene was always a favourite. Good old Colonel Hathi. I think as well, it's fun because with this being set in India and the book being based in India, like, it is fun, the little Hindi terms you have. So, like, Hathi is Indian, that's Hindi for elephant.
And so, it's a bit of a contradiction because it's said in an English accent, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Well,
but there's also, you've got Mowgli with a little American kid.
Oh, you say American, it's more of Australian for me.
It wasn't quite Australian.
Oh, I don't.
I quite like the voice actor for Mowgli.
Yeah. It's
like,
very odd, though, like, isn't it?
It doesn't fit in with the rest of the... Apart from Baloo, actually. Do you know what, though? I think there's something to be said for the fact that Baloo's got an American accent, where Bagheera and that has got the English accent.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you know, like, the thinking about America being more free and whimsical and, like, more fun, whereas here we're stiff upper lip.
Yeah.
It's very more straight, like, it's straight-laced.
Yeah.
So I think, like, all of these decisions are obviously intentional, but, like, you can see the reason behind the intentionality as well.
Yeah, inherently, yeah, I suppose. But also, at the same time, every single one of the voiceovers sounds like they've just gone to retirement home and gone, you, this one, you, this one. Like, but as a kid, obviously, you're not going to be able to pick up on it. Well, you won't pick up on these things because, obviously, it's more of a visual aspect and, like, you know, well, I don't know what kids do. You know, they sit there, you know, they'll watch it, won't they? But
you clearly just don't have any children in your life.
Literally. Well, touch wood, it won't be for...
I want to tell this story to the listeners. It's not relevant to the Jungle Book, but you were talking, it reminded me. There was a date, so we work in a cafe, and we were out front, and this little kid was, like, trying to talk to Sam. And he was like, Sam, he was like, bye-bye. And Sam just goes, see ya.
See ya. Yeah. Goodbye.
It really made me laugh.
I'm not going to converge to little kids, because, you know, I think the more convergence you do, the more you're not letting them evolve to their full potential.
What are you talking about?
No, seriously, like, if you talk down to a kid for the whole life, they're just going to still, like, be sucking damage when they're 20.
Saying bye in a friendly way and not, right, like,
so you think I've got the capability to go, like, change my, like phenetic discharge to a little kid's intellect.
You're doing an English language degree.
All right.
You're doing great, babe. It's all good. We completely lost what we were talking about. We were talking about memories of this film and, like, certain scenes. Do you know what, actually? The whole of the last bit with Shere Khan as well, where he's, like, chasing them and, like, there's thunder and lightning, all of that felt really familiar as well.
Yeah.
Again, it's the whole thing of trauma. The trauma stays with you. The scary parts stay with you.
Yeah, like, obviously... Wait, well, like, the scene where... Which scene was it? Oh, I forget now. I know, I'm thinking about the second one.
It gets mixed up.
Wait, like, are you including the second one in it or not? No.
Well, we can talk about the second one. I thought we'd talk about the second one later, but we can talk about it now if you want.
No, for me, it's a scene when they go to get water. Mm. And obviously, like, it stigmatises, you know, like, being, like, village-orientated.
Yeah,
like,
and then there's the fire.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, what I always thought is, why is it the little kids going out to get water?
That's just India, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, you got harsh parents.
Yeah.
You're sending the little kids out, and they're going to end up, like, the head's going to look like, you know, like you flipped a chest piece upside down.
No, they've all just got cracking posture because they carried the water in that.
I could never.
Maybe it couldn't be for me. Maybe we should do that.
But sending the kids from the village to go and get water, like, that's supposed to be a disaster.
That's just how village life works.
That's supposed to be a disaster.
That's not even just India, that's just village life, man.
So what's the dad doing then?
I don't know.
He's watching them do it, probably.
That's fine, you're allowed send your kids on errands. It's like that. Have you seen that Japanese show on Netflix? It's called Old Enough, and they send babies on errands. It's incredible. It's the best thing ever. It's so good. I'm obsessed with it. I just love watching.
Something that, like, by that, like, by that, then like school run wouldn't exist. Go on, you're going off. You go bag packed. You're going
exactly.
Sorted. I suppose it wouldn't be cars, but then anyway, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I suppose.
There we go.
Oh dear.
I feel like maybe we should move on to another topic. Not that we've stayed on topic at all with any of this. But you've obviously, we kind of briefly talked about Bare Necessities.
Yeah.
But the music of The Jungle Book, I feel like we should talk about. Though, I will say, it's funny because in my head, there was a lot more songs.
Mm.
Like, I think of The Jungle Book as being one of the more musical Disney films.
It's like a musical.
Yeah, but there's actually only three songs.
What even are, I can't even remember the other two.
Yes, you do. Because you love that other song.
Oh, yeah, the one with the monkey.
Yeah, you love that one. You sing that at work sometimes.
What is it?
Yeah,
I suppose, yeah.
You definitely like that one. Look at me telling you what you do and don't like. I don't know. You like what you like. That's a lesson for all you kids listening. Like what you like. Yep. Don't apologise for it. Yes, it's that one, Bare Necessities, and then the one the snake sings, which you've probably blocked out because you're scared of the snake.
Yeah, it would have closed my ears and my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. how many hands just everywhere?
I don't have to, like, I can blink, you know what I mean? I don't have to physically close my eyelids. Like, my eyelids aren't on manual, I don't have to check, you know, like, I don't know why I've done that, it's not even ambition, is it?
No, I'm sorry, I did promise you I was going to film it and then I didn't.
It's all right.
Sorry, I broke a promise. You don't get to see his beautiful face. Sorry, guys.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. It's all right. You know, solid 7. But the music, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Well, I Want to Be Like You, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, that, I don't know if I'm thinking into it too much, but monkey, got human characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Man cub,
mm-hmm.
human characteristics.
Yeah.
He's jealous of him. He's not trying to get him back to the old village. He's jealous, he wants him under his wing.
Yeah. That's the whole point of the song.
I don't know.
The lyric is literally called "I Want to Be Like You."
I suppose it's quite obvious, actually. I don't really know. I don't know why I'm like. I've praised myself from getting that right, and it's made for kids. So,
but you know,
I'm a passenger.
You said it like it was a really exciting new point, and I love that for you.
It is. For me, it is.
For you,
it's groundbreaking for me.
Learn something new every day. I do really like the songs in this, though. Even though, obviously, now I've gone, oh, there's not that many. They are really good. And I guess the music throughout is really good.
Yeah.
Speaking of music, though, they did actually... So, obviously, the Vultures are very obviously based on the Beatles. They did actually want the Beatles to be in this. Fun fact.
Talk to me then. Like, how is these, like...
So you know, like, towards the end, there's the Vultures who come and, like, take them away.
Three Vultures.
Four? Yeah, because it's, like, meant to be, like, the Beatles, so four. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's why I was asking you when we were watching it, can you do a Scouse accent?
Oh, every day's a school day.
Every day's a school day. Yeah, so the four Vultures are meant to be based off the Beatles.
Yeah.
And, obviously, this is 67, so, like, at the peak of Beatles hype. Yeah. So they originally did want John... Ringo, Paul and George.
I can't do it now, can I?
Well, no, because...
Actually, that'd be
Paul
fitting.
Paul and Ringo.
Well, no, yes. Yeah, I thought they're still free. But who's died? Lennon's died.
Yes. Lennon has definitely died, as has George Harrison.
I don't really get this, like, this hype around the Beatles. It's all right. Nothing on Oasis. Like, it's like...
Nothing on Oasis. That is the most basic...
No, I'm not going to lie.
I cannot believe you have just said
that. I'm not going to lie,
right? The Beatles are nothing on Oasis.
Like, when you're... Like, it's like a prime example, right? My dad will teach me how to play football.
Yeah.
Right? He's good, yeah, fair enough. Like, he's like, you know, like, he's the God Saviour.
Yeah.
I'm going to be better than him.
Okay, because you came later.
Yeah, and also, he's taught me everything that he knows, and I've just excelled upon that. Yeah, like, Oasis have admitted, I don't know what we're talking about, but Oasis have admitted, right, that they used to, like, feature a lot of their music upon the Beatles, and it was better than it.
It's not, though.
Right, so, agree to disagree, but you can't beat Liam Gallagher, I'm afraid. It's all about the attitude.
Agree to disagree. The Beatles weren't in this anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference. The swing song, though, so it's Louis Prima who voices the monkey, King Louis, and he was like a big artist at the time, so yeah. It is cool how they like incorporated that, and like there's a real playfulness in the music, which I really do love. But yeah, I think it is one of those things where, like you said, everyone knows Bare Necessities.
Yeah.
Everyone knows I Want to Be Like You. Because as well, because I think that song especially kind of has a life outside of the film, because it's played by like big bands and orchestras, yeah, and used for like jazz swing concerts, that kind of thing.
Yeah, as I was saying before, like people don't have to actually watch the film to be able to associate themselves with those two songs.
Mm. You said earlier about the fact that actually it's not necessarily narrative scenes that stayed with you, but the visual aesthetic.
Yeah.
What do you think of the visual aesthetic?
I think, obviously, because it's based upon a cartoon, like, you can sort of, like, build your own imagination from that at the same time, like, and it's sort of, like, the escapism from, you know, bright colours, like, obviously, like, the diegetic sound between the characters. It's all, like...
Look at you throwing in the term diegetic sound, sound like you knew what you're talking about.
I do, of course. Like, you know, like, what baffles me, though, like, still, like, is, like, it's such a like kids based film, but all of the like narrators, they're on deathbeds. Like they are. Like, so like, how are you gonna be able to converge like the two sort of like I don't think it's sort of like a relatable film from an adult's perspective for a kid, if you know what I mean.
Wait, so you mean as an adult? So say you're a parent, you wouldn't show this to your child.
No, I would show it to my child, but I think he has not got a clue what's going on here.
Yeah, I guess.
Or, like, they would to a certain extent, but, like, they wouldn't be able to fully...
But I guess, but like I was saying, the story itself's quite simple. So you think that would make it better for kids, because then you've got... Because, like I said, like, the writers wanted it to be more about the relationships, and, like, you can like the characters. The characters are likeable. Obviously, I think you said, like, Baloo's, like, the drunk uncle or whatever, but there is something engaging and charismatic about him, and I think kids are drawn to that.
Yeah.
Whether you're...
Yeah, like, it's always going to be the kid's favourite character, I think. Cause
oh, yeah, but Lou was 100% my favourite character. Like, you're not going to be... I was about to say Lou's favourite character was Bagheera, and then remembered my brother.
Sasuke's favourite character would be Bagheera.
Probably.
No, Lou, like...
Sasuke's one of our managers.
Who was it? Yeah, Baloo. Mm,
that guy.
He's got a deviant side to him.
Yeah.
And a lot of children
kids
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a bit of escapism for them, and I feel like they would be able to not only relate to the relationship between Mowgli, which is basically the children, like living like life as the kid. I feel like if they were to watch it, then they'd feel like if they were in it, that would be the go-to character. Do you know what I mean?
You did say during the Bare Necessities scene, I think the listeners should know, Sam just goes, oh, I wish I could live a day
I wish I could.
I want to live in this.
You wouldn't have to worry about money, stress, sunburn, anything. Like,
yeah, you did get quite burnt last week.
Yeah, like, he's running around like he's not getting blisters. I'd have to have Crocs on if I was doing what he's doing.
Gosh, I'm just imagining you wearing Crocs now. Terrible look.
And he's climbing trees. Like, I was saying before, like, it's mental how his naughty step is literally 50 branch, feet in the air in a branch. I was like, when does naughty step end? How am I getting down? Do you know what I mean?
That's quite good then, isn't it, as a naughty step? Like, that's stuck up there.
Yeah, but you've always got to be forgiven.
Oh, that's really nice. That's a really nice sentiment. We started this tangent, and yeah, another one. We were talking about the visual aesthetic of the film, and somehow ended up here. But I want to talk about the visual aesthetic of the film, so I'm going to jump back to that point, because I want to talk about it, because I haven't. And, you know, it needs to sound like one of us actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to films. Which I do. I have a degree.
I'm one-third of a degree.
One-third of a degree, yeah. You're nearly there. But I find it really interesting with this, in that... So, with the 1960s... I'll context for you.
Yeah.
So, in the 1960s, the style of Disney very much changed, and there was a lot more of this angular line drawings. So, I think it's really interesting with this, in that you've got... The characters in the foreground are all very much like that new style. Yeah. It's all very angular. It's all very solid lines. It's all really block. But then you've got these really soft painted backgrounds, and it's almost like the echoes of the older Disney. And so it's like it meets in the middle. But then also, interestingly, this film was one of the first, I think, to reuse cells from old films. So basically, they would repaint over the
pastiche of the previous version.
Yeah, basically. So literally, the chase scene in this where they're running away from the monkeys after the orangutan song. So the frames they use are from this random film from the 40s called Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Oh, yeah, you know this then?
It's almost like I researched that.
Yeah, it's true, to be fair. Not bad.
It's almost like yeah, I put effort into this. Funny that. But yeah, so they, and like this is something Disney have done loads since. So if you watch like even newer Disney films, like in the last, not so much since they've switched to 3D animation, but like if you watch stuff from like the 80s and 90s, like these, the scenes from this, there's a scene where Mowgli is like climbing across the branch. That yeah. scene has been reused in multiple Disney films since. And they literally take the picture and paint over it and paint the new characters oh, okay, onto
yeah.
it
yeah.
and then reuse it, which is so clever. But yeah, I think you do get the sense of like, you've got these really soft, like not warm backgrounds, because I don't think I'd call them warm, but you've got like the soft haze. Yeah. Like you were talking about the escapism of it.
Yeah.
And I think there's something hazy about the background, and then you've got these really firm drawings in the foreground. So it's like this mix of styles. So it is a really interesting film. It's also, I haven't mentioned this yet, and I should mention it because it is important. This was the last film that Walt Disney oversaw himself before he died. So like this film really marks the end of an yeah. era for Disney, because, you know, it was the end of...
Yeah, because there's a massive difference between the imagery between the first and the second Jungle Book I've seen, because like, the typography, like everything, mm. like, it's completely different. Like, and like the outline of the characters,
yeah,
it's more, like, obviously it's a lot more modern. And I feel like, the, like also like the characteristic like traits of like the actual mm. characters are more like hyperbolized. Like, they're like they're a lot more charismatic and like outgoing, because I feel like with the film is yeah, as you say before, it's yeah. like block like yeah. scene mm. whereas I think the second one plays up, from what I remember, it plays on like a lot more emotion.
Yeah, the second one is pretty good, but I think one thing you do lose though with slightly more modern animation is I don't think it has the same character. Like yeah. I like the fact this feels like it's rugged edges. I like the fact there's those block lines versus yeah. the hazy, and like it doesn't quite fit together. But I think there's something to be said for that, because it's more interesting to look at, and it feels like you can feel somebody has drawn this.
It's a lot easier to be able to go like and watch like a modern Disney film now, mm. which you're also desensitized to, and then to go back to that and then like realize yeah. like the evolution of like what. Like, yeah. the changes between, you know, everything.
Yeah. Well, it's like I say, you didn't, like, even believe me when I said this film's 1967.
No, I thought it was 2006. I was like, yeah. well, I would have been... Well, I was born in 01, so, you know, young.
Stop saying it. Don't like it.
Yeah. 4 years after 97.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Anyway, what were you saying? Carry on your point.
What was I saying? I can't remember.
You're saying, we were talking about this film being old.
Yeah, no, yeah, like, the film being old, I feel like it's, as it gets older, mm. the more appreciation it has for the film, because it, obviously, as I was saying before, like, we're so desensitised mm. to the current, sort of, like, a regiment of Disney films, mm. like, they're, you know, 3D animated.
Yeah, and I think we just, like, it's weird to be like, oh, well, we just don't think much of animation. And obviously, obviously, there's a whole kind of stigma of animation being for kids. But, like, even when we watch, like you said, that people come desensitised to it, you kind of forget. And even now, obviously, 3D animation, so much work goes into 3D animation. You think yeah. of the thousands of animators who work on a film.
Yeah.
But, like, with this, when you really think about it, and you think of how much less the technology was, but how many people are still working yeah. on it. I think, for me, like I said, it's every time I think about the fact that every single frame is drawn.
Drawn, yeah.
Crazy, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, and the consistency between the drawings as well, because mm. it can't all be the same. Obviously,
no, it's not.
The same person.
So it's loads of different artists. Yeah. So usually what they do with an animation, so like it'll be different art supervisors on different characters. Yeah. So there'll basically be a set number of animators who can draw a certain yeah. character. So that tends to be how it. And then there'll be someone whose job is like just doing the backgrounds.
Yeah, that's crazy though, because like the facial expressions are like almost identical between mm. each different scene. Like, yeah. From, you know.
Like, yeah, there is a real consistency in the yeah. characters, despite the fact, like you said, there's so many people working on it.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know how you can draw a baby to be so cute. Like, you know, like the first scene.
Oh, yeah, it's a
like,
really cute
how
baby.
Can you actually draw that to be so cute? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? It is weird.
Yeah. Even like the little wolf cubs in that as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't eat him, to be honest. Like, it's not realistic. Yeah.
It's not realistic. Yes, I've said this quite a lot.
Like, a little baby sat there crying, and there's about 8 ravenous wolves. And, like, they're not going to look over it and say, oh, like, you know.
It's our brother.
Oh, brother. Like, look, his baby teeth are growing through now. Like, how cute's that? They're going to be 30 seconds gone.
I'm trying to think how many times you said it. You did say it a good few times throughout the film. You thought, oh, it's not realistic.
Not
really.
Well,
it's
yeah.
not realistic.
Oh, yeah. Comes with your age, I suppose. See?
Grand,
I have evolved from the age
of
4.
Grand old age of 21, Sam. Gotta point out all of the inaccuracies.
It's the scene where he's mounting the tree like he's some sort of ravenous woodpecker. Like, he's, you know, it's like reincarnation of Spider-Man. Not realistic. I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't write that. But, you know, that's why I'm not right.
It's okay. There are other things you can do which aren't writing children's films.
Yeah, true.
Because you can't even talk to kids, not going to let you write a kid's film.
I can speak to them, but they don't like hearing what I've got to say.
I wonder why.
Oh, I'm just honest. I'm straight up. I'm not going to...
We've got to coddle them.
I speak to my dog like it's like the actual Winston Churchill. I say, like, I don't get this pet voice.
No, I don't.
Hello, hello.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
I actually feel sorry for the dog because I feel like the dog's thinking, why are you being so condescending? Do you know what I mean? I actually know what you're saying. Like, speak to me normally. Because, like, everyone else around me, right, I'm speaking to them normally, and then all of a sudden I'm speaking to the dog and I'm going, like, treat me like a, like...
You're going to say, treat me like a human.
Like a part of the family, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have pets, do you?
I mean, I'm not great with animals, but maybe one day. Probably not, but it's fine. He looks really disappointed in me.
It's really upsetting. Dog. You cannot go wrong with dog.
You're going back to the film, the thing we were actually meant to be talking about. Yeah. We really do get distracted, don't we? Maybe everyone's right. We just can't talk to each other. We do just get distracted. But Mowgli, what you were saying about, like, talking to animals and using a weird voice, but it's funny actually seeing the way the different animals interact with Mowgli, because they do all just kind of obviously take him under their wings. But, like, I find it interesting. Mowgli is so just distinctively human, though, still.
Yeah.
And, like, even though I said earlier that, like, he doesn't have much agency in the story in terms of, like, things just kind of happen to him, and the whole thing is just, oh, we have to get him back to the man village, and he doesn't even want that. The narrative still kind of pushes towards that, and obviously at the end he's won over by a girl singing and shaking her hips because he's a boy. You're simple creatures.
Rugged boy from the wild.
Exactly. You can relate.
I can't love that. And also, like, he's also like he's had to adopt the sort of responsibility because some of the animals that he meets are not a good influence on him. You know what I mean? Like, so Bagheera's the only one who's sort of like leading him down a path back to the man village, whereas he meets
Baloo and Louie
and they're all sort of like egging him on to sort of stay, and, you know, he's got to adopt a sense of responsibility at a young age. It's not easy.
I wouldn't say he's a responsible character, though.
No.
But what I would say is I really appreciate the fact that, like, he's such a gutsy little kid. Like, he proper fights his corner all the time. And, like, half the time you're like, mate.
Well, he doesn't know can't hurt him. He doesn't know that Shere Khan could beat, long, you know, like, tear his right arm off.
Like, yeah, like, he's, like, facing off.
He's
facing off with elephants. He's... The first time he meets Baloo, he starts punching Baloo in the stomach. Like, that bear is, like, 5 times the size of you, if not 10.
Right.
You're just like... He's the skinniest little kid as well, and he's just like, come at me. And I just... I don't think there's anything more human than that, is there?
No, he's literally
like,
treating...
Like, just a massive overconfidence.
He's literally trying to get sweets out of Shere Khan's face. It's like... It is like a pinata. He's got that stick, and he... I can't remember the scene, but he's like, he's got a stick. Is it the snake? He's like, wait, does the snake try and hide Mowgli from Shere Khan? Like,
because he wants to eat him.
Yeah, that's it. But then the snake just likes to strangle him.
Yeah.
Like, why is he trying to protect him? Just to strangle him. He's not going to eat him. He's not even got any teeth. In the film, he doesn't have teeth.
This really bothered Sam that Carl does not have teeth.
He's got a tongue with no teeth.
You have to understand, because Sam's never actually looked at Carl because he always used to cover his eyes in these scenes. It was a real big shock to him to discover that the snake didn't have teeth. In fairness, you are right. I don't know why he didn't have teeth.
It's weird
as well, though, because obviously Kara is voiced by the same guy who voices Winnie the Pooh, and so, like, it's such a non-threatening voice.
Yeah, Doc Cotton. It does sound like Doc Cotton. It sounds like he smokes about a pack a week.
Yeah, probably did. It was 60s.
60s, yeah.
There we go.
I'd say before, like, what you don't know can't hurt you.
Yeah. To be fair, though, to Mowgli, like I said, like, I think he's very human and he fights his corner, but, like, What do you think you'd be like if you were in the jungle
I'd really be giving it larger. I'd be on all fours all day. Not like that, obviously. I mean, like, I'd be like, I wouldn't be walking around like some sort of human. I'd be joining in, like, I'd
fully integrated.
Yeah, I'd bruise down to the climbing trees. To be fair, I'd probably be exactly like he is. To be fair,
I think you would.
Yeah, like a bit gutsy, but then at the same time, cannot live on his own. Like,
can't,
I saw
actually,
that scene.
Can't actually fight. No, just, that, yeah, like, talk saw, to the game. Yeah,
but I saw that scene where, like, Mowgli's, like, on his own. Mm-hmm. 3 seconds later, he sat down with his head in his hand. And I'm thinking, you've got to be a bit more charismatic than that.
Yeah, you did literally say that when we were watching it. Like, 30 seconds, didn't even make it.
I didn't make it. Oh. He's got to rely on his environment, it's poor.
Yeah. So there we go. If Sam was left alone in the jungle, he would fully go native and he would be just...
I don't know what he's doing with, like... I don't know what I'd, like, wear. Like, what would you wear? Because, like...
That's your big issue.
Yeah, because, like, I'm not going to be naked. It's not right. But, and then, like, at the same time, like, there's no shops. Like, you know, you can't exactly go on, like, Depop and, like, see what the latest, like, shoes and trainers are. I'd probably have to wear some sort of kilt.
Because kilt's not exactly practical for
climbing around. Yeah, I'll make a kilt out of leaves.
But again, a kilt's not particularly practical.
Yeah, but I'll make it practical.
Can't you just do what he does? Have like a little rag?
Yeah, like what's he got? Like some sort of hanky around his...
It's just like, yeah, just a cloth covering his dignity.
Yeah.
That's all you need, isn't it? Mm. I don't know. Maybe a bit more. You should probably cover up. Yeah. Nobody needs to see that.
Yeah, especially with my sunburn, that's awful.
Now you're admitting it. Last week he was all like, it's not sunburn, it's just tan. It's actually like really brown and really nice.
Wasn't it? Was,
like, it was red. It was completely red.
No, but it went brown.
Yeah, it did actually. So, but it was red. It was sunburn.
He's a loser now. Like, it did hurt, to be fair. Like, for a few days I was in the shower thinking, that's not even hot and I'm burning. See what I mean?
I definitely poked you. Sorry if that hurt. You were all like, nah, it don't hurt. Don't hurt. Oh, sorry, mate.
Honestly, it was like a squashy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really red. It wasn't great.
You meant to tell me loose, son.
But neither of us are in the jungle. Neither of us are going to get
that's my alter ego getting the better of me again, just like Mowgli, see? Thought I could just sit in the sun for 3 days. Little do I know, burnt to you know what.
I genuinely do think you would be like Mowgli, though. You genuinely would.
Oblivious and just can't really, like, I can't live on their own, pretty much.
Nah, just... picking fights where you don't need to.
Well, who have I picked a fight on then? I can't even pick a fight on a brick wall.
No, but like, you know, just like talking, not talking a big game, but you know, talking a big game.
Gas myself up slightly.
Yeah, slightly, just slightly. Mm. Listeners, you probably are very confused by this whole episode. We've kind of sprinkled in talking about the Jungle Book, but I think every single point we've gone off on the tangent.
The fact that, like, we watched it like 15 minutes before we started. I don't really know what happened. Obviously, I know the narrative of the film, but like, I'm sort of thinking, what actually happened? Like, there's no like sort of conclusive. Like, I know that he went back to the village, right?
But I still can't get over that ending of literally like the whole film
led up to one point of a girl dropping a bucket.
Literally,
and then he's back in the village.
Literally, boys are so fickle. The whole film, my guy's like, I want to be in the jungle. Sees one girl. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll go to the village.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, that won't last. It won't last.
But you like the second film so much. You don't believe in them?
Yeah.
You
and what did he do?
You don't believe in Mowgli and Shanti's
What did he do?
Love?
He would call straight back to the bloody jungle, didn't he?
But he ends up back in the village at the end, doesn't he? At the end of the second one? Right. I just thought we should talk about, because I do always talk about this on the podcast with films that have had live action remakes. We should mention a live action remake.
Yeah.
Have you watched it? What were your thoughts?
I did watch it, and it was like sort of like crushing all my childhood dreams, basically, because the monkey in it looks
terrifying.
Like Godzilla, right?
Terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. Like, wait, was Shere Khan like voiceover by Idris Elba?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he was, and
it was Idris.
So like that to me, it sort of loses the scare factor for me because
you're not scared of Idris.
Look at him.
He's terrifying.
He's a god heir. He's God. He's God. He's a new Bond. How can you be scared of Bond?
Yeah, well, they haven't actually cast him yet. He's a bit old now, isn't he? Mm. Yeah, I quite liked the live action one. And I'm not a huge fan. The listeners are probably bored of hearing this. I'm not a huge fan of all the live action ones. But I think Jungle Book, it feels different enough from the original to be like, oh, this is quite good because it feels different. Though I do, this is the thing, right? They call it a live action film. Obviously, it's just that one kid, the kid who plays Mowgli, who I think's absolutely brilliant, this kid. Because considering what, the kid must be like 11, 12, and he has to act literally just against green screens all the time. I think it's so impressive because, like you said, Jungle Book is all about the relationships between the characters. Yeah. And you really do feel the relationships between him and the characters, despite the fact it's literally just
CGI.
Him talking at
CGI,
green screens. Yeah.
Well, they've dug themselves a hole, really, because, you know, Finding Nemo, what they're going to do, get Stephen Irwin and a GoPro, go like 50 metres underwater. Like, the thing is with the real life spin-off of it, I feel like you can only do that with certain Disney films because...
Yeah, but they keep choosing all the wrong ones to
do it. Yeah, I know, yeah. Like, because...
Like, so Lion King.
Yeah, because the characters are so, like, so well-known that they can sort of play off that and, like, people will already have, like, a pre-assumption of what they're going to be like. Whereas if... Because, like, some children will watch the real-life version for the like, as their
first
scene.
Yeah, that'll be what they grow up
on. Yeah, like, that'll be their opinion on what the film was.
Isn't that sad?
It is a bit, isn't it?
Like, but I like the new Jungle Book.
Wait, like, what other Disney films have they done?
Jungle Book, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. They're doing Snow White. They're doing Pinocchio. They've done Lady and the Tramp. They're doing Hercules.
Yeah, they've done loads then.
Yeah. It never ends.
Like, I don't, to be honest, I'm not patient enough to be able to, like, get to the credits. So.
Well, that's why this is one of your favourite films. It's because it's under 90 minutes.
And it's kids.
And it's for kids. Yeah. You know, just like all your other favourite films, like Scarface.
Yeah, true, yeah. Do you know what? I don't actually know what it is. It's the same with films, clothes, food. Like, there's no consistency there at all. Like, I don't... Yeah. I just sort of do what I'm feeling at the time. No, I'm not very consistent when it comes to that. But the thing is with films, I'm not really a traditionalist where I watch Disney and then I'll go and watch Disney. I'll go from Disney, like you say, to go and watch Scarface.
That's fine. That's, to be fair, my film taste is like that too. Yeah. Like, I'm not a Disney adult, guys. I promise. This isn't all I watch.
Well, it's become your job, so you sort of have to, no?
I mean, yeah. This year it's been most of what I watch. But again, it's to bring great content to you guys.
Yep.
Remember to like and subscribe. Woo! And please say that you find it good content. I just
it is validation. Good content. It didn't send Freya to sleep. Listen,
It sent you to sleep. You fell asleep.
10-hour car journey. Right. What wouldn't send me to sleep?
Right. So, like, Sam's come on the podcast. He's actually never listened to the podcast because the one time he tried, he fell asleep.
Right. Why are you, like, painting a bad name for me now? And, like, we're, like, 40 minutes in and, like, they all of a sudden, like, I think, like...
It's okay. The sound guy seems exactly right. They've had plenty of time with you. They've probably already gone, oh, I really like this guy. What a charmer. What a
gem.
Great guy.
You're a gem.
What a gem. You are a bit of a gem, actually. And that's my one nice comment about you for the day. All the other ones I've made during the podcast, I'm going to cut out.
Who would you say, who is your favourite character from the film?
I love that it took you 50 minutes to ask that.
Yeah, I know. I'm not, like, as if, like, we're coming towards the end and I've asked you your favourite character, you know what I mean? What have we been talking about this whole time? Darkly worrying, isn't it?
As a kid, like I said, I was very much... I liked Baloo as a kid. Growing up, like I said, I think, like, yeah, Bagheera... As an adult, Bagheera's a lot more appealing because you're like, he's the only one making any sense.
Yeah.
But I do love... Like I said, I think by the end, I'm like, oh, Mowgli, you stupid boy, acting like a boy. But I really admire his panache. I admire the fact that he just kind of rolls with life, goes with it.
I like the... like.
Who do you like?
I like the Beatles.
You didn't even know they were based the on the Beatles. You didn't even know they were meant to be the Beatles.
No, but
you couldn't even tell.
Yeah, but, like, do you just think they're, like, just hilarious?
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
They are just quite funny, because, like, you can...
Better than those demon monkeys, the ones we were terrified of.
Yeah, because I think that they're personified the best to, like, an English-British culture.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can definitely look at one of them and say... Like, that reminds me of some that I know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We literally... That's another childhood memory I have of this film, actually. Was us sat... This was, like, a friend we grew up with from church. And we were sat watching this. And we were literally sat there comparing each of them to people we knew.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. To be fair, we were doing that, watching it today even. Yeah. We're like, that's like that friend from work. That's like that friend. That's what that dynamic is.
Mm.
Maybe it's just inherent in us.
That it is.
We have to find things we know.
Comparing our friends to animals. That's not exactly the best compliment, is it?
I mean, we actually do genuinely have that conversation quite frequently.
We do, I know.
I think we had it last week.
I know. Well, I don't know why I said I'd be an eagle. I'm like, that stuck me for like 50 minutes. I'm saying, why am I an eagle? Because I'm not only am I scared of heights, right?
Are you?
I think feathers are disgusting. Like, this is like a story, right? Like, my mum used to, like, walk around the house and think, like, these feathers are some sort of signs. It's like, me and Taylor just had a pillow fight in the other room. Like we're, like, 6 years old. Just, this is a sign. Leave it. Thinking, it came from an animal. Do you know what I mean? Horrible. I've never understood it, but, you know.
I don't know what else to say.
Oh, we've covered most... Well, we've covered all the characters.
We've talked about the characters. We've talked about the visual aesthetic and the animation a little bit. We've talked about its function as an adaptation. We've talked about the music. So we have covered all the bases I planned to cover. We just took
saying a lot about it.
We just took a very long journey to get there. Yeah, we didn't really say all that much, but I think that summarises both of us pretty well.
It's been brilliant.
And it does summarise our friendship incredibly well.
Like, this right here is basically what we would talk about within an hour of being at work. Thank you so much for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure.
Yes, you are welcome back whenever.
Still listening. Really.
If you're still listening,
thank you
so much
for bearing with.
Yeah, and
I hope you enjoyed.
I hope you enjoyed just a snippet of what it's like being friends with Sam Kitkat.
Yep.
Thanks, Sammy. That was really fun.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thanks, listeners. We'll be back another time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Part of That World podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, then good news, there's a new one every Wednesday. Just hit subscribe on your streaming service of choice to stay on top of fresh content as it releases. You can also give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at POTW_pod. And if you thought, hey, that was really good, I'd love to support the creators, why not buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com/POTW.pod. That's everything for now. Until next time, bye.